It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there are called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Ciao, belly!
Hey! Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. It's a different Tuesday. No Danny here today.
No Danny.
He just sent a text message this morning that said, I'm puking.
Yeah, so...
That's never a good feeling.
No. Yeah, so stay home. Good call.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
We don't need that here.
Look, when it comes to illnesses... Like, puking is the worst.
Oh, yeah.
It is the worst.
Well, I guess if we're talking about just a solo thing that you have to suffer through, if you have to pick which end goes down, that's the worst.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is brutal.
Because that'll put you in quite the conundrum.
Yeah. Yeah, having those choices.
Yeah.
I remember one time, it was the first year that the Ducks were on the Fan. I got a text message from my wife about midway through the second quarter of Oregon-UCLA. It was when I think it was when Oregon wore the Jordan uniforms, the black Jordan uniforms, right?
Gotcha.
And it said, you need to come home. And my wife is a trooper. She's a champion.
Yeah.
She pulls so much weight, especially during football season. But I got that text, you need to come home. And I was like, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Something's going on here. So I call her and she's like, I can't talk. We're all sick. Get home. I'm not kidding. I was like, okay, well, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Head up I-5 about 2 hours later. I walk in the front door. It was the worst smell I've ever smelled in my entire life. Because it was my wife and both of my kids. My son was just like an infant. And all of them had gotten the flu. And it was a war zone.
Yeah.
An absolute war zone when I walked in
just
that house.
Biohazard.
All three of them just in the fetal position. So my son is like an infant. My daughter was like 3. My wife is just curled up on the, like, next to the toilet on the ground. You know that when you are just laying in the fetal position on, like, the cool tile of a bathroom floor and you're like, I can't move. Yeah. Everything hurts. There was, like, puke everywhere. And I was just like, well, I'm getting sick.
Yeah.
It was probably, like, one of the first thoughts was, like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm next. And so I was just, until I got sick, I was just cleaning everything up. It's the worst.
Yes.
It's the absolute worst.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling for the Danny today because that's a no good.
Now, I do have to say, a little bit of an upset.
Yeah.
That he is the first one in the school year out of either one of us to get sick like that with him not having kids.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we send our kids to those bacteria traps every day.
And my wife works in one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the upset.
Yeah.
This is the and I am a little worried when the meringues have a baby meringue. Like, that's going to be those illnesses going to really pile up.
Yeah, they're going to tear through that house.
Because you know this, when you have kids, you've got to kind of build up those immunities back up too.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that stuff that you got when you were a kid, your body forgets all that, you know? And then all of a sudden you start getting sick over and over and over again. It's like, here we go. We're back to a good spot now. I think we're back to a good spot in my household where we're, you know, knock on wood there.
Yeah.
And I'm totally now just jinxing all of it. I'm pulling a Joe Buck. Joe Buck last night literally says, Trent Williams played every snap tonight.
Ooh.
Literally the next play, Trent Williams is walking to the locker room. And Joe Buck owned it. He admitted to it. He said, isn't that the ultimate announcer's jinx, right? And it was just, he just went to go get an IV because, I don't know, he hadn't been ramping up to play an entire NFL football game. But I'm giving myself the announcer's jinx here for my family because we've been okay lately. We've been okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the immunities now. We're getting the immunities back up.
I'm a little surprised, too, that we haven't done it because we traveled to Idaho a couple weeks ago and saw some of the fam over there.
Yeah.
And made it back unscathed.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Just licking sidewalks now. building up those antibodies.
That's how one of my kids got sick at a trip to Idaho. We were staying in a hotel, and Sammy, when she was like 2, 3, caught her licking the back of one of the hotel chairs.
Ugh.
Yeah, that next day, we had to make an impromptu stop at the old Wild Horse Casino and stay for the night.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there were some new clothes purchased that trip.
Ugh.
A new car seat. It was ugly. My wife went down to the laundry facility. She tried washing that blanket like 7 times, and she's like, I had to give up. I had to throw it away.
You know, the one of the worst kid moments, we went to go watch my niece play soccer. She was a high school soccer player, and my daughter was like 2, and we're sitting in the grandstands, and we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden we look over, and my daughter is just chomping on gum. And we said, where did you get that gum? She's like, it's right here underneath the bleachers. Pulled it off, threw it in her mouth, and we were like, no. I mean, I just fish hooked that thing out. It was the grossest thing I have ever seen.
It's so awful.
And you just, like, the look of horror on my wife's face. We were with my dad. My dad thinks it's the funniest thing in the entire world.
Of course.
It is objectively funny when it's not your kid who's doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But you're sitting there going, and she's like, spicy. I was like, oh, man. So she had found a little piece of that big red chewing gum, right? And just smacked right underneath the bleachers at Valley Catholic High School.
Ugh.
And decided, yep, this gum's mine now.
Yeah.
I was in horror.
Who left this perfectly good wad of gum right here?
Yeah, it was just, oh no. Where'd you get that gum? Wait, we don't have gum. Uh-oh. And we just knew. You know that I don't want to know the answer to this question of where you got that gum, but I'm going to find out. And yep, it's right where that's right where I thought, on the other side of those bleachers there.
Getting a good reminder on the old Vancouver Ford text line here. Lunchtime, gentlemen.
Yeah, have a great lunch,
enjoy,
everybody. Yeah, so we're there. That's a rip-roaring start. Goodness. Oh, that gum. I'll never forget that day. It's like a war story for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was a gray, cloudy day. Oh, so
man.
Gross. All right. This is a great text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Children are the original bioweapons. I like to think 3,000 years ago, before a tribe ran down the hill at the other, they just sent their sick kids first over there to play for a few days prior. You know? That's one of them. When you have kids and your kids have a friend over and all you look over and they got the snot bubble just coming out of the nose. You're like, oh, this is going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're starting the clock now. Yep. We're all going to be sick in a week.
Yeah.
All going to be sick in a week. All right. Well, and this is a good tech. Maybe this is me just spreading the word here. There's a handful of rare examples where I don't want kisses from my son or daughter. But that'd be one of them, Dusty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You're just like, we're going to go brush those teeth real quick.
Yeah.
It's like Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
You know, after the Finkel Einhorn situation.
stick that plunger right on your face.
Yeah.
The other day I was sitting on the couch with my daughter, too, and all of a sudden I felt her. And I felt something on my arm, and I just looked down, and I went, did you just wipe your nose on my arm?
Yeah.
She's like, yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd like to think you asked for it.
It's quite possible.
I mean, I'd like to think that that's probably the reality of that situation right there, Russ, is you did something, and you deserve that.
Yeah.
You deserve that, because why not? Why not use my shirt as a napkin and my arm as your tissue?
Yes.
Just go ahead.
Let's do it.
That's what we signed up for, right?
That's precisely it.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Sure.
We got a lot that we got to get to today. There's still so many leftovers from the Sunday of NFL action, the Saturday of college football action. And there, you know what? I got a Friday night story, too, that I want to talk about today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because I heard about it throughout the week. I hadn't seen anything about it until Friday. We finally got the confirmation of it. It's quite the move. It's quite the move that the Oregon Schools Activities Association is throwing down right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get people's thoughts on it because it is a little bit... It's a polarizing topic just when you talk to people, but this past week, one of the state's all-time winningest coaches was suspended. Ooh. Yeah, and the reason is mind-blowing.
Would that be the one that was about to tie the all-time winningest record?
No.
No, okay.
No. We'll get to that coming up. We'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get to that one in the 1 o'clock hour. But... where we got to start this bad boy off? Hey, it's Civil War week. It's Civil War week. And the big question looming this weekend in Corvallis, it isn't about the Oregon offensive line or Oregon State's defense and the challenges that they've faced so far, which is shutting out an opponent. They've answered every single challenge that they've come across. It's a bigger question that looms. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Coming up this Saturday, we've got a rivalry game. Oregon State right here on The Fan, a Civil War game. in Corvallis, 12:30 kick. It's going to feel weird for a lot of reasons. You got September matchup between the Ducks and the Beavs.
Yeah, not exactly used to warm weather for that one.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. And we're used to November. Think of the elements that we've seen over the course of Civil War years, right? Mm-hmm. You have the infamous Toilet Bowl 1983, where, again, one of my life missions is to clear Mike Jorgensen's name of the Toilet Bowl. 0-0 scoreless tie at Autzen Stadium, where the wind was howling. The rain was just coming down in buckets in Autzen Stadium, and you had two teams play to a scoreless tie. The last scoreless tie in college football. Also, prior to this past week, the last road shutout for Oregon State. Wild.
Yeah.
Okay, you had that game. We all remember the Fog Bowl in where just it was like you were playing in the clouds. Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple of those games where fog has overtaken both, you know, Reser Stadium, then Parker Stadium, and then Autzen Stadium as well, where we've had just fog take over those games. Late November, the Willamette Valley, guess what? Foggy.
Yeah.
Foggy.
Yeah.
Comes a problem.
This morning on my way in, they were talking about memorable sporting events that you've been at, and I was at the I think it was 2001, the Keenan Howery punt return.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cold.
Very cold.
Wet.
We've also had those games where it's been like a crisp, bright, sunny November day, where you're just, it's like bitterly cold.
Yeah.
It's going to be 72 and sunny in Corvallis.
It's so weird.
This is something that we've never seen in this matchup. But I think at the heart of it, outside of the questions that loom surrounding both of these teams this year, is truly the meaning of this matchup now. And so I put a poll up at Danny and Dusty on X or Twitter. At Danny and Dusty, with Oregon and Oregon State in different conferences, the Civil War will mean more, mean less, not change. Please go and vote on that, because I find already the responses that we're getting are pretty interesting surrounding this rivalry, which it's always meant the world, because it's not just the in-state rivalry. It's also had a lot on the line in the conference. Whether it was 1983, where you're playing for the bottom of the conference, or we've had War for the Roses. We've had games of consequence that matter where, you know, the Beavs have wrecked the Ducks season and, you know, bowl aspirations. The Ducks have stolen away a Rose Bowl bid for Oregon State, and just the sad faces and all the sad roses in Reser Stadium. And I think that was 2008, when it was like 65, 30 something. But we've had these matchups with so much consequence outside of just the in-state bragging rights. And so with this rivalry in ship sailing in kind of different directions, that's the one thing that has always been at the heart of this rivalry and this matchup, is it means a lot within the state, but it's meant a lot in the conference as well.
Right.
And now that you have that kind of taken away, not kind of, that now that that has been taken away,
yeah,
will this game mean as much to either program? So go and vote. Currently, 57% of respondents say it will mean less. 34.5% say not change. 8.3% with the it will mean more now. So you can go and vote on the poll at Danny and Dusty on Twitter. You can text us too at 503-864-6326. You can also reply to that tweet as well. P1 Rufio chiming in. You can also on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/1080amthefan, go ahead and drop your comments there. Rufio says on the Vancouver Ford text line, platypus means more if the Beavers win. Means less if the Ducks win big. Somewhere in between if the Ducks win a close one. That's a really, if it's a close game, which I don't know if anybody's followed Oregon the past 2 weeks.
Couple close ones.
They've played a couple close games.
Yes.
Right? What is the feeling coming out of that? You know, are moral victories something that Oregon State is hanging their hat on? Because that hasn't been the case, and that goes back to what conference you're playing in, the standard and the expectations that you're playing to. You know, a win was a win and a loss was a loss, and that's what mattered. And that would be interesting if, you know, you're taking moral victories out of the in-state rivalry moving forward. That does make it a little weird. Like, you think of Iowa and Iowa State, that rivalry has not changed because Iowa State's in the Big 12. Iowa's in the Big 10. They're still at big boy tables, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one right now, it, with so much limbo, at least for the next couple of years, what are we going to take out of, you know, a victory one way or the other?
Yeah. I think that if it were further down the line and Oregon State, you know, say they can't find a home in, outside of somewhere like the Mountain West, and they do become a permanent member there, it's going to feel a lot more like a Colorado State type matchup.
Yeah.
If you give it some time, and that's the path that it goes down. But if they find a place in the Big 12, then yes, I think it hangs on and it keeps the same kind of importance.
Yeah. Another text on the Vancouver Four text line. It depends on who you ask, Dusty. Means less to Oregon, means more to Oregon State out of spite and jealousy. And that's the thing that I hope never goes away.
Yeah.
Right? Is that I hope that it still means more than normal games to Oregon.
Right.
And I think when you look at Colorado and Colorado State, it means a lot to Colorado and Colorado State, but us here in Oregon, it doesn't mean as much.
Right.
But within that state, I hope it still means a whole hell of a lot more. And look, we've seen Colorado State with a disadvantage in talent, disadvantage in recruiting and funding and all of those things, just like we saw last year.
Yeah.
They took Colorado to the brink. That wasn't a very good Colorado team.
No.
But they took Colorado to the brink and they punched up.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we do. I hope we do see it means a lot to the Oregon players and fan base. Because I know that within that program, they know how much it means.
Yeah. See, and I think that I'm not sure that it necessarily means less to Oregon or Oregon's fans anymore. Because basically, at this point, it's more like, okay, we really can't afford to drop this.
Sure.
Because, we'll never hear the end of it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And then B, yeah, that really kind of hoses your season now, too.
Yeah. This text says, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, huge rivals, different conferences. And I think that goes back to, though, that conversation of, but major conferences.
Yes, power conferences.
That takes on a whole nother meaning when you're in the power conferences. There are very few conferences that we have where, or very few rivalries that we have that have survived the test of time. When you have one team goes up and they're playing at the now Power Four level, mm-hmm. and the other one is not, you know, it's kind of a weird place to be in, because outside of Colorado State, what are the other ones that have survived this? Because yeah. You do see big conference teams stay in big conferences. That's mm-hmm. usually how it's been. You don't see this one go stay up and the other one drop down, or be left out, not drop down, be left out,
yeah.
like Oregon State and Washington State have. And like, this is the thing that I'm really interested in too, is like, this texter says, you know, I'm still pissed as hell the Beavs are even playing this game. Beavers need to move on. And as always, F the Ducks. Washington State and Washington, they're playing that game in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
not at Husky Stadium. They're playing at Lumen Field. They're having problems selling tickets there.
Yeah.
As of late last week, they were having problems moving tickets. Are Oregon State fans not going to show up to the game? Because a lot of them feel that way of, why in the hell are we even playing this game anymore if Oregon and Washington are two of the reasons why, you know, the Cougs and the Beavs are getting left out.
Yeah, see, that just opens up a whole nother box of questions there, you know, because look, when it comes down to it, the way that things were changing so rapidly and seemingly day by day and hour by hour, you had to cover your ass and make sure that you had a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if we want to get down to brass tacks, maybe we place a little bit more blame on that Washington State professor that completely overvalued everything. And, you know, it's, I get it. I get you understand. I understand the feeling of you guys left us behind, so F you.
Yep.
I understand. But at the same time, look, it's a good chance for you to go out and try to punch up.
Yeah. And there is this element, too, of, like, to that point, you know, I think Larry Scott and George Kliavkov obviously bear a lot of the burden for the way that the Pac-12 fell apart. I will always go back to the commissioner was employed by the university presidents. And the university presidents as a whole, and that includes, you know, for a long time, Ed Ray at Oregon State, Kirk Schultz at Washington State, Michael Crow at Arizona State, who were the three longest tenured university presidents or chancellors. They are the ones that allowed it to continue to kind of backslide down. And that is a big issue. They're not sports people, but when everybody in the country was saying the writing is on the wall, the writing is on the wall, they started acting and reacting far too late.
Yeah.
And that's a massive issue that plagued the Pac-12.
They kind of bird-boxed that son of a gun.
Yes, they did. All right, we got some feedback on the poll itself at Danny and Dusty. Huddleston says, right now, it would mean more because of how everything went down. I think 5 to 10 years from now, I think the shoulder shrugs will start coming in and it will mean less. Yeah, that will be the big one is down the road, eventually, where does this feeling turn of this rivalry? Is the bitterness going to grow or does it fade away and kind of dissipate? I'm really excited to see where it comes to on Saturday in what that environment is like in Research Stadium. How many, because that would be kind of the worst thing of all of this is to that texture's point of, I don't even know why they're playing this game. If Beav fans are saying, you know, in mass, and I don't think you're going to see a 50-50 split of Research Stadium, but if that home field advantage that we've come accustomed to seeing, whether it's in Corvallis or Eugene, it matters in this game. If that is diminished a little bit, how does that impact the game in the flow of the game, in potentially the outcome of games, right?
How much chippiness do you think we get here on Saturday?
A lot. I think there's going to be a lot, man. I think there's going to be a lot of chippiness.
Let's see here. Let's put it at a over-under on unsportsmanlike conduct flags. We'll set it at 3.5.
See, I don't think the chippiness is going to come necessarily from the players on the field.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to come from the fan bases. I think that's where you're gonna hear it. And look, that's what rivalries are all about. You know, that truly is. It's what rivalries are all about. Adam points out on the poll, I'm curious to what the survey would say if this game was still played at the end of the season. September just feels weird for this game, but we're going to have to get used to it because this is the way it's going to be. And there are a lot of rivalry games that are played early in the season, middle of the season, late in the season. You know, the Alabama-Tennessee game is always played second weekend of October. You have the world's largest outdoor cocktail party is always played earlier in the season. You can't have these rivalry games. This is just a massive shift. It's a monumental shift in when you play and the expectations of it moving into a September rivalry. All right, go vote on that poll. We'll revisit this one coming up in a little bit. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Last night, week one in the NFL wrapped up a statement in a lot of ways in the Bay. Danny Dusty on the Fan. Week one of the NFL wrapped up last night. Monday Night Football in the Bay Area. Heck of a foosball game.
Sure, if you're a Niner fan.
Yeah, for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, it was... Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
That Niners team looks pretty dang good still. I would say that all of the offseason drama, distractions, issues that had been going on and surrounding this team... put to bed emphatically last night. You had not just Trent Williams, as we talked about earlier, playing damn near every snap of the entire game. offensively after a holdout that lasted the longest of anybody not named Hassan Reddick, which Jets defense probably needs him.
Yeah, I think they could use him.
Probably need him.
Did that just give him a little pay bump coming?
I mean, you saw that defense and you went, oh man, if only they had an edge. Oh, wait.
Yeah, maybe that turns into a, hey, you know all these $5 million in fines and such and $800 in missed game checks? What do you say we sweep that under the carpet and
yeah,
let's do this here?
Do you know they can no longer do that?
Really?
Yeah, it's part of the new CBA. If you are a veteran, so you can sweep it under the rug if they're coming off their rookie deal.
Gotcha.
Okay, but that was, you can't do it if you're...
So no take-backs?
There's no take-backsies on this one.
He's
already cost himself a lot of money, and it got even more aggressive with now you have regular season game checks going out the window. But
yeah.
I think his point was proved when you saw, you know, Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald on the edge of that Jets defense, and it was not pretty. It was not pretty. And the 49ers have an incredible offensive line. Trent Williams played out of his mind. You know, that was the best game for Trent Williams that he has played since week 3 of the 2022 season.
Just like all I needed to do was sit out for a while, huh?
Yeah, I feel like he's just got it. He's kind of got that, whatever that it factor is, I would say that he has it. He allowed zero pressures at left tackle on 33 pass blocking attempts. That's the first game without a pressure since week 3 of 2022 for Trent Williams.
Not too shabby.
No, not too shabby at all. And look, Brock Purdy looked comfortable. Brandon Ayuk played 28 snaps at wide receiver, and he is a guy that didn't get very many targets, and that was his big rub and big gripe, but he still looked good. He had one drop that was a little uncharacteristic of him, but Brandon Ayuk reintegrated into that offense. You were without Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason. That dude, think of that story and that kind of arc that he had. Last night, going off the way he did, 28 carries, 147 yards and a touchdown. First of all, it tells you about how much talent they have around everybody out there. It's not every day that you're going to have a running back step in. And he is in his third season, but as an undrafted guy who's kind of just worked his and inched his way through, step in and rush for 147 yards. That is, one, the offensive line being incredible. Kyle Shanahan is a fantastic play caller. But when you have a defense that is going, even without Christian McCaffrey, your eyes have to be on Debo Samuel. Your eyes have to be on George Kittle. They have to be on Brandon Ayuk. We saw Juwan Jennings. He thrived off of, like he always does, Thurman Juwan, having so many eyes and attention on all the other playmakers in that offense. He gets free. He's tied with Debo Samuel for the most catches on the team last night because you have to account for where everybody else is.
Yeah.
And especially when you run the ball as effectively as they were able to with Jordan Mason, you have now safeties creeping up. And where does Juwan Jennings feast? In the middle of the field. And that intermediate and deep middle is where he eats. And you saw it play out again last night. The San Francisco 49ers planted their flag in the ground. They are not going anywhere. The distractions could be pushed to the side. There's nothing really plaguing this team as it pertains to on the field. For the Jets, you have a defensive-minded head coach. In that defense, it got gashed.
Yeah.
It got gashed last night. It has been getting gashed in times. And they've got their issues. I was really interested to see how Aaron Rodgers would play. I thought Rodgers, for a guy coming off an Achilles who's 40 years old, he looked more mobile than Kirk Cousins did, who's coming off an Achilles. Kirk Cousins, they were afraid of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins did not attempt a drop back from under center. A play-action-based quarterback.
Yeah.
And you're not going under center. Guess where you can hide the ball and give the biggest play fake? When you're under center, he turns his back,
yep.
He reaches the ball out, and then brings it back in, turns around, sets and throws. They were in the pistol. They were in the gun. He didn't look mobile. He wasn't pushing off his right foot. Kirk Cousins looked like a guy who's coming off an Achilles and thinking about that Achilles the entire time. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, I mean, he wasn't vintage Aaron Rodgers because that's not who he is. He's not the runner and the scrambler anymore. He looked more comfortable, but he also had his shortcomings. Did you see his spray chart of where he threw the ball?
I did not.
Left, 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 and even more left. Three pass attempts to the right.
Oh, wow.
Three pass attempts right of the hash.
Makes it a lot easier to defend somebody if you're only, you know, using half the field.
Yeah, that puts you 18 on the left.
Man.
Yeah. It was a little bit different in that regard from Aaron Rodgers, and that comes with, you know, comfort getting back into that rhythm of playing again. I don't think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers detaching himself to one side of the field through the entirety of a season, but that tells you a little bit about where they are offensively in New York, which not a great spot, Bob. Breece Hall looked good, though. I like Breece Hall early. He looked really stinking good. And then, again, here comes the San Francisco 49ers bottling things up in the second half when you're having to play from behind. Takes the explosiveness in what Breece Hall can bring you out of that game. But I also believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to the left because you got to get the ball out quick when you have that front seven playing as well as they were. I mean, Fred Warner, Bosa, those guys are cheat codes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, the damnedest thing about this Niners team is they've made really tough decisions every year. First one was like DeForest Buckner, right? He has to go to Indy, can't afford him. This year it was Arik Armstead. Yet, when you have dominant guys at each level of your defense, like they do, makes it a whole lot easier for you. You know, when you have Ward in the secondary, Fred Warner in the linebacking core in the second level, and then Nick Bosa up front, that's one of those good lucks. Good luck, guys.
Yeah. So what are you supposed to do with a team that's that stacked at every level in the defense and then also has those offensive weapons?
That's a great question. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do is have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's your up, up, down, down, left, right, right there.
You can cheat code that son of a gun.
Yeah.
Right out of the existence. And that's what they've done. But I think the one thing, and you don't want to overact because it is just week one. There's plenty of time. There is this war of attrition that is the NFL. And when you look at where San Francisco was last year, San Francisco was the healthiest offense in the NFL last year. Like, we think of Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey getting dinged up near the end of the year.
Yeah.
They actually were the healthiest team,
yeah,
healthiest offense, I should say, in the NFL a season ago.
That's a nice bounce back for them because typically that's where they get hurt a lot.
Well, yeah, and it felt like they were because of the guys who got dinged up.
Right.
But the reality of it is you can get over an injury or two. You just can't have two, three injuries at the same time and very long, significant injuries.
Yeah.
But San Francisco appears to be the real deal. One thing that I did feel bad for, Jordan Mason, man, that should have been a great night for him. And I think he was let down by the team because his night ended with a thud. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. What should have been a great night for Jordan Mason, the running back for the San Francisco 49ers. 28 carries, 147 yards and a touchdown. It ended on a sour note for him, and I think he got let down. At the end of the game, here he is on the field with Lisa Salters.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When did I find out? Maybe Friday night, you know, something like that. I was always prepared. I mean, we went through training camp. You know, I was RB1 at training camp, so, you know, just been preparing from there and just, you know.
You caught on.
There was a lot of people that immediately after that interview went, uh-oh, he's in some trouble. And this is where he was let down. Christian McCaffrey was listed as questionable over the weekend on the scouting report or on the injury report. He was ruled out officially yesterday afternoon. When Jordan Mason says he found out Friday he was going to be the starter, that means San Francisco lied on the injury report, which is a big no-no because of billions of dollars that are gambled on the NFL every year. And that is one thing. Millions of dollars are bet every single week on the NFL.
So
especially a Monday night football game. This is why injury reports exist. It's not just like pulling one over on your opponent. It is to make sure things are on the up and up on the gambling side.
Yeah, Vegas knows everything they need to know. So when you play Monday night, is that the same like final injury report deadline as if you played on a Sunday? Like it's Friday afternoon, that final deadline, whether you play Sunday or Monday?
Yeah, but one of the big things is if he knew he was going to be the starter on Friday, why did they rule him out? Why didn't they rule him out?
Maybe it was after they released.
There is going to be some wiggle room here.
Yeah.
In that, you know, San Francisco is going to be saying, well, we put him in as a starting running back on Friday because, you know, Christian McCaffrey was questionable. You know, he was a 50-50 chance at playing as of, you know, Friday. And so he did run with R1s.
Yeah.
And they're going to probably get away with it, but they're going to be under the watchful eye. What I felt bad for was that was on the field with Lee Salters after he went into the post-game press conference, and it ruined his day.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, this is where
he got put in a bad spot by the team.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did, because you got to be briefed on it. Like, he was on cloud nine after the game, and he should have been.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Shanahan after the game had to do some damage control.
I'm saying it's amazing. That person must be God, because we just found out he wasn't playing today, and I have no idea how he's going to feel tomorrow or the next day. I thought he was playing this whole week until today.
Nah, that's not true, because your running back just said that he found out on Friday he was going to be the starter.
Yeah.
And this is where he got caught up. I think if the question was, did he feel like he was going to be the starter on Friday if Christian McCaffrey is limited or not practicing? Yeah, probably.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He probably felt like he was going to be the starter on that day. And this is why it's going to be really hard for the NFL to prove, but they can still slap a fine on the team. The thing that I hate out of all this, I don't care that the Niners knew that Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to be out. Probably a lot of fantasy owners did. Yeah, probably a lot of gamblers did.
Yeah.
But what I care about is you didn't brief Jordan Mason that, hey, even though you ran with the ones,
yeah,
Christian McCaffrey is going to be our starter. You got to kind of button that thing up.
Yeah.
This is a learning experience. It just sucks. It ruined his day.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, he's not used to that kind of spotlight on him. You know, he's not used to being that guy up there at the presser or in the scrum. And yeah, so you got to help prepare him a little bit.
Yeah.
Hung him out to dry.
Yeah. It's an awful way and you hear it. Like, he was like choking up.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he got MF'd and he was like, oh no, this sucks. You misspeak once.
Yeah.
You say, I felt like, if he would have said, I felt like I had a good chance at starting on Friday and I didn't find out till today, nobody blinks at this.
Right.
But question was, when did you find out you were starting? And Lisa Salters is going for the, like, an hour before a kickoff, just like everybody else.
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah.
He goes Friday.
Yeah.
And everybody's perks up their attention, because then you have this whole cloud surrounding the 49ers.
And Shanahan basically going, I didn't tell him. Maybe somebody else made him believe that, but I didn't tell him.
No.
Yeah.
You thought Christian McCaffrey was going to play all week long, huh? Even though he didn't practice most of last week.
Yeah.
All right.
Good times.
They won 32-19. Turns out, didn't need Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Now all of New York is freaking out because their defensive-minded head coach's defense got gashed for 180 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
And 401 yards of total offense.
See, but I was led to believe that Aaron Rodgers was going to be the difference between what happened last year and a Super Bowl this year. That's what I heard all offseason.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Dang.
Sorry. Yeah. That one just always baffled me.
Oh, man. I feel bad for Jordan Mason.
Yes.
I feel bad for him because that should have been an awesome night for him. He should have gone and just partied his balls off, gotten treated like a king in San Francisco for a night.
Yep.
And as it was, he ended up tearing up on the podium because the team let him down and he misspoke a little bit too. Yeah.
And instead of going out and partying, he probably went home and drank by himself.
I don't think that happened.
No.
I bet they cheered him up. I bet they cheered him up a little bit. All right. Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two, let's get back to this, the Civil War we got coming up this weekend on Saturday. September feels different. It looks different too. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.